T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is about targeting violent criminals and getting them off the streets. It is not about minor traffic violations. We are also working with the U.S. Attorney's Office to assist with federal-level gun and drug cases. In addition to the assistant attorney generals the state has already provided, we will assign 2 additional investigators to this already successful partnership.
There's Governor Parson yesterday when he was in town with his big reveal on how they're going to help the city address violent crime. It's a start. More manpower is what's needed, definitely. But you know what you also have to have there? A prosecutor willing to prosecute, willing to enforce the law. That seems to be what's missing. Hey, good Friday morning to you. Welcome into 971 FM Talk, the Mark Cox Morning Show. Very glad that you're with us in here along with Tricia and Denise, and we've been kind of keep up with things. Denise broke the news here a few minutes ago that Bill de Blasio has dropped out of the race for the Democrats. Yes.
He's done wasting his and everyone else's time.
Another one bites the dust. Bill
who's
de Blasio
next?
Is gone.
Who's,
yeah,
who's your true. Money on? Who's next?
I think that song in my head every time somebody drops out, and then I
another
sing it all weekend.
Dust.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Klobuchar? I mean, she hasn't really gained any ground. Maybe Tulsi Gabbard, who didn't make the last debate stage. And there's a number of them who I can't even, I don't even know their names.
Yeah, there's still
who
some
are still in
that
the
I,
race.
At this point, I'm now like, is that one still in or is that one out?
Yeah, I don't know. So if any more of that breaks during the show, you can bet we'll have it for you first right here. Stay tuned for that. I saw they've got that Forest Park balloon race is going on tonight.
Yeah, the glows tonight, right?
And
the race tomorrow.
And I heard Sue Thomas warning people that they may end up closing access off of 40 there by Forest Park, right? Mm-hmm. They may close a couple of the ramps. I got caught in that a couple years ago. My father, who's been passed on for a couple years, my dad hated nothing more than sitting in traffic. He grew up in a rural area.
Smart man.
He didn't ever have to fight traffic jams to get to work. And whenever he would come to St. Louis or wherever I've lived around the country, the one thing he complained about the most was traffic. So they're here visiting one time, and I'm like, hey, you know what? The balloon glow's going on. The kids would love to see it. Why don't we load you and mom and the kids in the car? We're going to go down to the balloon glow tonight. Oh, okay. We'll get a bite to eat while we're out. Mm-hmm. We come down Highway 40 to a screeching halt right there before you get off at Hampton. And then when we got right up to the ramp, they closed it. And we'd been in traffic for 45 minutes. I thought my dad was going to crawl out of the car. Can I just take that? So
when your dad disowned you.
Yeah. That was it. That
Whose
was the end of the story.
Whose idea was this?
So I'm just warning you now. Sue Thomas is saying if you're going down for that tonight, leave early and plan it out well, because if you may end up stuck on the highway like I was.
But it's such a cool event. So
should be nice.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
absolutely. If you're prepared for the wait, you know, the traffic, then it makes it not quite as bad. But
true,
it's such
true.
A cool event. Hey, I went last year and it was so much fun.
I've never been. If you're stuck in traffic, can you see anything?
No, it's all on the ground. They don't take off.
Not until they get.
They don't take off
tomorrow.
Way down
in the valley. No. That's true.
Okay.
It's a problem. Hey, at 7:35, Mark Walters is going to join us. If you heard yesterday, Colt announced that they're going to quit producing the civilian AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. And the media is going haywire over this, but there's a whole lot more to the story. We're going to get to Mark Walters at 7:35. But right now, let's get to Andy Fry.
Back up, you creep.
So beat the drum with me.
Get away from me.
I'm not
Andy Fry, happy Friday morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. No new images of blackface have popped up on me, so I'm in good shape. Better than Trudeau.
Yeah, this is a weird, weird situation. The Trudeau thing is strange, and I think that we have saturated the market on stories like this where they're not going to have the effect that they had, I don't know, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. And I think it's important to always acknowledge the inappropriateness of it, but it's like, basically what it boils down to is it's a really bad decision to do something like that. And most people who engage in that behavior don't really understand why it's a bad decision. And I know a lot of people are like, well, they should know. Well, yeah, well, we make a lot of stupid mistakes based on what we should know, but don't. And it's interesting to me that we've come, you know, I guess those, I don't know when the most recent Trudeau picture was. The one I recall was the 2001 photo. It's interesting to see where we've come in 18 years with this understanding of where that type of a decision lies in history. And like, I don't see people engaging in this kind of behavior today. And like, that's progress. That's good. That means that we've, as a society, learned how to be more sensitive. And what I was talking on my show yesterday is we need to make decisions out of sensitivity and concern for our brothers and sisters that live in our community, but not out of fear of getting bombarded by the PC culture. Like, if we actually emphasize the kindness behind the idea of not wearing blackface, and in turn now not, you know, doing the converse of that, if I don't see people, a lot of people yesterday were calling in and saying if people are going to wear blackface or if people are going to be mad about blackface, we should be mad about whiteface. I'm just like, I'm not seeing these people in my life. Like, I'm not running into this situation on any sort of regular basis. This is stuff that's creeping up from years past, specifically years past when we didn't document every single thing that we did every day, all day, with photos from phones that we could put on social media for the world to see. So times have changed, and I would say we have become more sensitive, but we have to make sure that those good decisions that we're making because we actually care about one another, not because some mob is going to come after you and scare you into not doing things or into doing things or being faux outraged about everything when you're told, because making the right decision for the wrong reasons doesn't really help our culture. It just makes us more bitter at one another. And you can also make the wrong decision for maybe even the at the time you thought right reasons. Those are called mistakes. We all make them, and we're all, you know, living examples, working, you know, works in process there that allow us to overcome those things. We just need to take a deep breath.
The left has asked for this. They're getting exactly what they begged for, and now it's coming back to bite some of their own in the rear. And I see a difference here. I really do. Like, for example, Mel Carnahan, the former governor of Missouri who died in a plane crash, they found evidence of him using blackface back when he was a young man. You've had the case of the governor in Virginia back in the 60s sometime. Maybe the governor recently read about, Mississippi's governor, somebody claimed that she had dressed up in blackface at some point when she was in college many, many years ago. We've got to stop trying to cleanse history through our current perspective. You can't do that. You can't go back and decide something was so politically incorrect today that we need to forget about it happened. When you do that, that's when you start tearing down Confederate statues in Forest Park that nobody cared about till somebody drove by one day and realized what it is. Instead of using it as a learning opportunity, we've got to erase it from history and act like it never happened. You can't do that. But in Trudeau's case, this happened in 2000. I mean, this happened, and I started working at Channel 4 in 1993. I mean, this is not like this was ancient history when Trudeau did this. He did it in a time and age when the PC culture was already heavily ingrained. He should have known better.
Yeah, I agree. Let me take a moment to make all of your listeners disagree with me. Like, I made all my listeners disagree with me yesterday. So this might be a poor decision on my part as well. But I can't live like this. I can't live in this constant state of outrage and finger pointing where, because you're 100% correct, it's not an equal parts situation when it comes to who the offender is. If the offender is a Republican, if the offender is conservative, they get this extra mob heaped upon them until the people feel they can successfully burn that to the ground. And I think that what ends up happening is when that takes place, as a conservative myself, I see that and I think, you know what, this guy made a mistake, but he doesn't deserve this. He deserves the opportunity to recover. You know, there are very few mistakes in life that we shouldn't have the opportunity to, you know, bear the consequences of those decisions, bear the consequences of those actions. But we all make mistakes and we all need to be able to get past them. And the thing that makes people like me, and I suspect you, so mad is the ridiculous double standard that exists for people who believe one way politically and for people who believe the other way politically. And the thing that I said yesterday that I think was frustrating to people is you kind of, when a Trudeau situation happens, when a Northam situation happens, you want to see them get that same mob and outrage that, as you said correctly, that the progressive far left has created. They're the ones who have controlled vocabulary and words and the way we speak to one another so that we are fearful to speak up. That means we don't show up to the arguments, and then we can't win the arguments that we're not present for when we're talking about politics. That's what the left does. That's how they win. They bully you into keeping your mouth shut and to being too afraid to say, yeah, I support this president. I think he's doing a good job. Well, if you support this president, how can you be a racist, and how can you approve of the way he treats women? And it's like, whoa, I just kind of like his economic policies, and you know, I'm not really for racism at all. You know, it's like the leap is such a far, far leap. The double standard is real, and I just got to say, when I see Trudeau popping up in photos with blackface, I shake my head, and I go, this must be a lot more common than any of us realize. There must be some high-profile people, leaders, politicians, actors, actresses, entertainers, you know, just people of high position, maybe business owners, who've got these photos sitting somewhere. And I guess it's everybody's ticking time bomb to wait and see how long it goes off. I just don't have the energy every day when I'm hustling to try to get my kids to school, trying to put food on the table for my family, trying to, you know, just, you know, even like watch the St. Louis Cardinals try to win the division. Like, I've got more important things in my life than to make sure that I dedicate the matched amount of outrage to Justin Trudeau's dumb decision in 2001 and however many other times he did it. Like, I just don't have it in me. And I think that millennials like me get really frustrated with this. And I think if we keep trying to maximize outrage only because we're doing it in return, we're going to lose millennials and people who are going to be, you know, growing into voting age that are younger than us very quickly, and they'll become even more disinterested, which means they'll be even more uninformed about issues, and that's not good for anybody.
No, I could see that argument. I know, but the double standard is just, I mean, and it goes across the media, right? Because here's a great example of it. If you look at all of these campaign events the president's been having, where he packs these arenas and all this, the media never really focuses on what the numbers are, or they want to dispute whether or not he truly filled up the arena, because minutes before he took the stage, there were three empty seats. So it's always nonsense like that. And then I go on this morning and I see this story on The Hill, and the headline is, Warren shows signs of broadening her base. And the story is about the fact that some rally she showed up to had like 10,000 people there. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking, the president's routinely drawing 20, 25,000 people to these rallies. Elizabeth Warren is still third or fourth in the polls on the Democratic side, maybe except in Iowa. And yet the media wants to take that one example of her drawing a crowd in Idaho somewhere and use that. It's almost like they're now championing her as the chosen one for the left, for the Democratic Party. Do you get that impression at all?
Sure, absolutely. And I recall, I don't even remember what the issue was. I don't know if it was after she, like, weirdly, so bizarrely wanted to have a beer in her own kitchen. And she acted like she didn't know where the refrigerator was or where the beer came from. But I watch how the media tries to trump these things up about the rallies that they're having or the reason why they're the challenger to beat Trump. It's the same media that doesn't want to acknowledge the dumb Trump won the 2016 election and that people showed up to support this president in a way that constitutionally and very rightfully so makes him the president of the United States. So, like, if you were to compare the 2016 as, like, one big rally or town hall meeting where people came to have their voice be heard and we right. all just cast a ballot on the same day, look what happened. I mean, for another, what, 14 months or so, Donald Trump gets to call scoreboard. And then when people say, yeah, but how are you going to repeat? How are you, you know, if people are saying this about the St. Louis Blues right now. Like, I heard someone say, people need to know if the St. Louis Blues are for real. I'm like, are you
what?
Kidding me?
They just won,
like,
the cup.
Yeah, they just won the cup. And they're like, they want to make sure that that wasn't a fluke. I'm like, their names are on the Stanley Cup. Donald Trump's name is going down in the history books as the 45th president of the United States. And nobody can do anything about that. Not even Jerry Nadler, not even this media that hates him. It's what happened. Even if they were to get impeached, he still won the election. And uh-huh. it's not going to happen. It's absolutely not going to happen. So when the president is going to be on that debate stage with anybody next year, the people who have watched him have the success that he's had, and yes, he's had an immense amount of an economic success for real everyday Americans, and the way that he has sidestepped the you know, political laundering machine that is our mainstream media through going directly to people, he has made people understand him, even if they don't like him. And I think that when you consider, I saw an article, I think it was from Market Watch last night that I was reading, that said that if Elizabeth Warren gets elected president, that the author wouldn't even be surprised if the markets refuse to open the next day, because it's going to be disastrous on what's going to happen with our economy going forward. As soon as it gets down to that binary decision between Donald Trump and insert your reason, your sort of, kind of, or extremely so socialist candidate here, the economists are going to go crazy about how bad this is going to be for the economy. And I think Donald Trump is going to enjoy a bigger victory than he had in 2016.
Yep.
And then I don't know what the media is going to do.
Oh, they're going to melt. Let's end on a happy note. I got a minute left. How about those Cardinals, man? Beating the Cubbies last night like that. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was really nerve-wracking down at the very end of the game. But this is mid to late September baseball, and it's in Chicago, and Chicago's going to be here, and this is what it's all about. I think we've been so far away from this type of excitement in baseball in St. Louis for too many years now, here in a row, so people need to soak it up, forget about the first half of the season, enjoy mm-hmm. the ride like we own it, because right now we own it.
We own it. Yeah, we all need to say a little prayer for Colton Wong's hamstring, and besides that, it's all good.
Yep, absolutely.
Annie, thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll be listening this afternoon.
Thanks.
You bet. The Annie Fry Show, noon to 3 right here on FM News Talk 97.1. 314-241-9707. We're going to talk about that AR decision by Colt to cease production on those in the United States and why when we come back.
So are you willing to stand up to the NRA and other Republicans and say, look, we're going to do something?
I am, if it's not going to hurt a good, solid, great American citizen from keeping his weapon, because they want that and they are entitled to that. We have a Second Amendment. I don't want to have crazy people have guns. I don't want to have bad people have guns. But we're going to do nothing to hurt the Second Amendment. And what we want to do is see if we can come up with a compromise. And that's what we're working on.
Yeah, there's what is that going to be? What's that going to look like? I'm a little nervous about what they're trying to cook up in Washington. Maybe we owe Beto a congratulatory slap on the back for kind of waking up people in Washington and making them a little leery of you know, some knee-jerk reaction situation, because nobody wants to be a Beto O'Rourke's friend, right? After what he said the other day. Now, if you believe in the Second Amendment, this guy is not your friend.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
So that happened, and then, of course, yesterday, the media heralded the decision by Colt to suspend production of the AR-15. Now, the interesting thing about this is the headline says Colt suspends production of AR-15 for civilians. Well, that's an interesting take. If you don't know what's wrong with that headline, let me get to my guest. Mark Walters is my guest this morning. We've had him on before. Of course, he's the host of Armed American Radio, and he's also a spokesman with the Second Amendment Foundation. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Good morning from Phoenix, where I'm out here with 1,100 other activists gathered for the Gun Rights Policy Conference kicking off this weekend.
Outstanding and good timing, too, right?
Yeah, it really is. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. It's going to be a very raucous meeting at 12 o'clock noon today. I will be sitting in as I'm a member of the board of directors of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. We will be having a joint board meeting today with the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee from noon till about 6, and we'll have a whole lot more information on all of this to bring to your listeners very soon.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. You know, I was reading this headline. This is actually in Fox this morning. The headline says, Colt suspending production of AR-15 for civilians, which is an interesting headline because they don't make AR-15s for the military.
Right. And, you know, boy, I'll tell you, this is how fast this information's coming at you, Mark. I take a 4-hour flight from Atlanta to Phoenix. I hit the ground and the whole world's on fire.
Yeah, no kidding.
Literally what you miss in a 4-hour period, as you know, the content's coming at us so fast and so hard, it's hard to sit back and digest a lot of this. What I did was I spoke with Mr. Gottlieb last night briefly when I got to the hotel in Phoenix about this. This is a topic that's been running around. A number of individuals on the side of the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, of course, have published information about it. One of them in particular, who I won't mention, attacked Colt for the decision, and it was later determined, and I'm very comfortable saying this, that I'm comfortable with the fact that Colt simply made a business decision based on its business model, that those firearms were in mass production around the country. They didn't seem to think that it fit their business model, but that if and when that happened again, they would resume production. They wanted to focus more, and they got specific on their 1911s and their revolver lines. And I don't know that I'm in a position to argue with them about that yet, but we're going to learn a lot more about this decision over the course of the coming couple of days.
Yeah, well, here's the interesting thing about it. Now, you know, Colt is one of the best-known names in the firearms industry, but to be very honest with the listening public out there, a Colt AR-15 is going to cost you probably on average $200 more than any other AR-15 that you can come up with. Like a standard AR-15, the Colt model is $200 more. Is it worth $200 more? I don't know, but I'll be real honest with you. Part of their problem is labor costs. They've come out of bankruptcy. I don't think they were selling them for a $200 premium. And I think you're right. They made a business decision to stop selling this. I don't think politics played a role in this at all.
No, and they made it very clear. Their vice president made a very, very clear statement. He says, obviously, we're Colt manufacturing. We've been manufacturing firearms for many, many years. We're staunch supporters of the Second Amendment. It's a business decision, and when the business decision makes sense to us that we want to go ahead and return to the civilian market or to return to AR-15 productions for civilians, then we will do that.
Right.
It's not off the table. So, I mean, I accept them at their word at this point, but much discussion will be had. I don't think Colt is in any way trying to cave to gun control. It would devastate their business, and they know it.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. You know, we're talking to Mark Walters. He's with the Second Amendment Foundation, host of Armed American Radio. This proposal that we keep waiting for the White House to roll out. I think the Attorney General's been involved in this conversation. Obviously, top Republican elected officials have been consulting with the White House on what they may do. But part of it may be trying to strengthen the background check side of this. Do you have any feel for what this is going to look like?
I do. And the answer to that is we don't know. And that's a true statement. I wish I could tell you. Let me tell you why I said what I just said. I expected that question.
Okay.
I have information from that was brought to me yesterday afternoon. In fact, it was texted to me yesterday afternoon while I was in the air by the individual who was in touch with the White House, who told us that there will be no announcement on any gun control push at this point by the White House, because the insiders in the White House still don't know what Trump is wanting to do. But our side has been reassured that it will not do damage to us in the form of background checks that would give the left the ability to, in any way, shape, or form, continue to push for a registry. And if you've read that document from Attorney General Barr, it's very concerning on a number of levels. Number one, why is he pushing it to begin with? And number two, who's falling in line with it? Now, the gun owners of America, who will be well represented here this weekend, are asking some very legitimate questions, because Barr is using the phrase commercial transaction. Anybody that knows anything about a background check, when you go to a gun show, for example, because the left is always pushing a supposed gun show loophole, any commercial transaction is between a person and a dealer. Those dealers already have FFLs. Those commercial transactions already require that a background check be done, no matter where you buy the gun. It doesn't make any difference.
Right.
It's a federal law. So what are they trying to do here? Create a new class of commercial sales between two private individuals? That's what we're trying to weed through in this document right now. And the questions that you're asking are fantastic. I have a funny idea that you and I should probably be talking more about this on Tuesday after the conclusion of these meetings, when we will just simply know a whole bunch more. This is all coming at us in real life, real lifetime.
Well, oddly enough, we do our 2A Tuesday segment on Tuesday. So maybe next Tuesday we can just go ahead and book you right now for that. Would that work?
It absolutely does.
Same
bat time, same bat channel. I'll be arriving back from Phoenix at 9 p.m. on Monday, yes.
Outstanding. Mark Walters, we'll look forward to the conversation, and have fun out there in Phoenix. Keep up the good fight.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it much. We'll see you on the radio, brother.
Yes, sir, you bet. Mark Walters there, Armed American Radio, and with the Second Amendment Foundation. You got a little sneak peek into next week's lineup. How about that? We'll find out what they accomplished and what they talked about out there. Maybe we'll have more details on this White House gun plan. 314-241-9797. J.J. Carafano coming up at 8:10. He's got a new documentary that he's been working on regarding 9/11 and the lessons from 9/11 that we have to carry on with our children. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, you know, because we broke the story. I want to say that the Wall Street Journal, you know, the editor there who went to my wedding, Matt Murray, the reporters who are probably good reporters, but they couldn't wear my jockstrap as a reporter. Or hold it. I think hold it's the term.
I don't know where we went.
Charlie Gasparino, he was heated because the Wall Street Journal took credit for some story on AT&T selling DirecTV. Apparently he beat him to the punch and they didn't acknowledge that. And he was hot.
Well, can't blame him.
Can't hold my jockstrap.
I've never heard that term before.
Mm-mm. No, I've heard that before, yeah. Yeah. I mean, used very often. But
my question, why would you want to?
It's locker room humor. Come on. Remember that phrase?
We're not in the right locker room, mm-mm, Tricia, to understand what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys are doing in there.
Uh-huh.
And apparently, we don't want to.
Well, the way you're saying it, like, he can't hold my jock strap. Like, it should be, like, an honor. Like, he should be, like, powerful enough or smart enough to do it. It's like,
no, Doug, you don't even deserve it. You're not even, you're such less of an athlete than me.
You
couldn't
even
hold my jock strap, let alone wear it. You know what I'm saying?
I just don't know why you'd want to either.
Not that you'd want to wear somebody else's jock strap.
That's what I'm saying.
That's kind of disgusting.
Who does?
All right.
You guys.
I found mine the other day. I still had it. I did.
I don't even know what to do with this
information. No. Listen, you have to listen. I have to explain now. You have to
Please.
Let me explain. So when I graduated from high school in Ohio, my high school football team used to hold an alumni game every year. So after the season ended, the alumni could come back. They would put the pads on and practice for about a week, and we'd play the alumni from another local high school in a football game. So I still had my jock strap from playing in that game. It's been a few years. I'm just saying, but I found it in my drawer the other day. It's older than any of my kids.
High school jockstrap in your drawer, and now we're talking about it on the radio.
I'm just saying. I'm just being honest here, right? Just real people.
Sometimes there's too much information, Mark.
We're real people. That's all.
We're fighting the fake news.
JJ Carafano coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.